Welcome back to Talk of the Town on 99.7, 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town for this Friday, January 27th. I'm Gary Stevens. Once a month, on this fourth Friday of the month, we get caught up on some law enforcement-related topics in general and Ottawa County law enforcement in particular, as we are joined by the Sheriff of Ottawa County, Steve Kempker, on the other side of our table this morning. Steve, good morning. Welcome back and Happy New Year, sir.
Well, same to you, Gary, and great to be here.
If you have a question about Ottawa County law enforcement, Sheriff Kempker will be happy to answer it at 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. I want to start by relating a story that came to us early this morning from a situation that happened just south of the Allegan County line. Around 11 o'clock last night, Van Buren County deputies were requested to assist Covert Township Police officers that were involved in a motor vehicle pursuit. Shortly after the vehicle left Covert Township, it went into a field and got stuck in the area of County Road 376 and 70th Street. The driver immediately fled from the vehicle on foot. Van Buren County deputies arrived in the scene along with K-9 Bruno. Bruno began tracking the suspect, who led them on approximately a two-hour track that spanned almost 4 miles across numerous fields, woods, and small creeks. The subject eventually tracked to a thick brush area with limited visibility. Great Lakes drone was on scene to assist during the track and confirmed that it appeared a subject was lying down in the thick brush and had covered themselves with snow. Continuing on, the subject was given multiple commands to surrender himself and was warned that he could be bit by the canine. He continued to refuse to surrender. K-9 Bruno was sent into the brush and successfully apprehended the suspect. Doesn't say if it was any bite wounds, but the suspect was turned over to the Covert Township Police, taken to a hospital for medical evaluation, then lodged the Van Buren County Jail. It was found that the subject was a parole absconder, had warrants for his arrest and a suspended driver's license.
Pretty eventful incident there. And, you know, Gary, we do run into incidents like that, and, you know, sometimes I know the public gets a chuckle out of them, and sometimes we do, too, is, you know, you just like, this is something out of a movie. We get the opportunities in our jobs to experience things and see things that most people don't, and to see the creativity of criminals out there also.
Using a canine. And in this situation, they're warning, hey, Bruno's going to come in. He's going to bite you. Do they bite?
They will. What they do is they'll grab and hold. And what that does is really controls and contains the subject until the officers can get in. And, Gary, I don't know if you've ever watched the police dogs work, but the commands that they are given, and I think we had one of our dogs in here a couple years ago with you, very friendly dog. You know, everybody, the dogs that we use nowadays, we've switched away from that German Shepherd and more into the Belgian Malinois, I believe they're called. And the dog has a complete kind of different temperament. But again, when they are given the commands from their handler, that dog changes into work mode and knows what its job is, whether it's drug detection or tracking. And to watch, trust me, I've been around so long that I've had the opportunity to watch these dogs work and track people in the conditions that they go through, the areas they go through. It's just amazing to watch these dogs work. And especially if somebody becomes aggressive toward the handler, the dog will react to that. And they're one of the greatest tools that we have, again, in our what we call our toolbox of things that we use. And they're an asset to our community for tracking. And also yet on the drug detection.
Let's get to a call. 616-395-1450. Good morning. No, let's not get to a call. The other point about this story, and this is a 21st century story in the sense Great Lakes drone had to be called in using drones. Relatively new, I would think. Or is that something that's been another tool that perhaps we just don't hear a lot about in the toolbox?
It's a tool that's being used a lot more frequently now. You know, we obtained our drone just about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And that drone is used for everything from an incident like this for searching for somebody, because it does have daytime and nighttime capability with the infrared. It gets us into areas where sometimes we can't get into very easily on foot. We've used them already for missing persons. It's also used now to map crime scenes, to give us the aerial view of a crime scene. We use it on our traffic accidents now. We launch the drone up and it goes over and it actually maps the crime scene or accident scene for us, that we now have a live map of that. We can pick up, believe it or not, like the tire marks on the roadway from accident scenes. Just gives you a real better perspective. And I think, you know, I did accident reconstruction for many years. To get an aerial shot, what I used to have to do, Gary, is have the fire department come in with an aerial truck and go up in that aerial truck and take the photographs. Now, within a matter of minutes, we can launch a drone, take the pictures, and bring that drone back. So, the drone's just another piece of technology. You know, we've used our drones already to look at areas for other departments of the county, for the floodplain areas, to provide that mapping for other areas.
616-395-1450. Good morning. You're on Talk of the Town with Sheriff Steve Kempker.
Yes, I was wondering if he's received any complaints about how bright the lights are on the cruisers. I had occasion to pass a cruiser that had the lights on. It couldn't get all the way off the lane, and I could absolutely see nothing. If that officer would have been standing in that lane, while I would have hit him. It's just too bright.
Yes, I think, Gary, we had this question before on here, and the new LED lighting is bright. We are working with our staff. The company that actually makes our lighting is right in Hudsonville, Michigan. That concern was brought to that company several years ago, and they now actually have, and we're in the process of making sure it's in all of our cars, either automatic dimming or the deputy can dim the light bar. We now have the capability of running the light bar sometimes just so it flashes only to the rear. But yes, that's something that we are definitely working on with our staff. And I've heard it, and I've been in those situations myself. You know, it started years ago when we had just the flashing headlights, that white light. And again, we do our in-service training, and we show our deputies that you can become lost in that light. And that can be a kind of a danger zone for our deputies, for the paramedics, tow truck drivers, the same thing. So again, we are making sure that with our new lighting that we are able to do what they call the 50% dim.
All right.
Well, I consider it a danger to the officer. You know, when you can't absolutely see anything when you're passing. I mean, very slowly. The thought that was in my mind is, if that deputy is standing in this lane, I'm going to hit him.
Right.
So glad to hear there's some discussion about that. Thank you.
No, and thank you for the concern. And again, Gary, as some of the listeners probably do not know, that back in 1989, we lost a deputy that was hit in Georgetown directing traffic. It was a dark, rainy night up on Baldwin Street. And that, for us at that time, was actually the development of and starting to issue our people the reflective vest, which, you know, now is pretty standard for us. But, exactly what the caller is talking about. It's just like somebody driving at you with their bright lights on. You lose that vision capability for a few seconds.
Which, unfortunately, we're seeing a lot more of right now because it's the overhead lights of a converted plow.
Right.
Pickup truck doing that.
Yep.
Let's get to a couple more calls. Good morning. You're on the line with Sheriff Steve Kempker.
Yes, sir. I saw a car the other day that had blue headlights. Now, how do you see with blue headlights?
Is well,
normal, or are they allowed to have blue headlights? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thank you very much for the call.
Yep, there is a law that covers that. Most of that blue lighting you see is aftermarket lighting that is put in after somebody purchases a car and the owner of that vehicle actually changes the headlight out. Some of the more foreign models, I call them, like BMWs and that, they do have a little bit of a blue tint to them. People tell me, I have not been there, but they say the visibility is good, but any blue light, true blue light, that faces to the front of a vehicle is covered under the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code, that it does not meet the requirements for that. So it was a big thing probably about 8 to 10 years ago. We saw a lot of that blue lighting, and it kind of faded away, but I have noticed, too, myself, again, driving at night, that we're seeing a few more, and it's mostly modifications made by the driver.
And this is something I see a little bit more on the other side of the state. I saw it a lot more in Detroit than I did here. Let's get to another call. Good morning. You're on the line with Sheriff Steve Kempker.
Hello, Sheriff Kempker. I have a question. Maybe a few, but do the deputies for Ottawa County, are they issued body cam? And if they're not, the other question is, when will they be? And I don't know why they don't have them yet.
Okay, I'll we'll get the answer to that. Thank you very much for the call. We've been talking about body cams, too.
We've been talking about it. That project is underway for the sheriff's office. As I said, it is an expensive project, but it is supported, I think, by our board and our administration, supported by myself. We are moving forward. We're in the process of hiring our technician manager to manage that program, and we will be looking at vendors here very shortly to make that selection. And as I've said before here, Gary, is the concern for us, I'm not concerned about the actual equipment itself, but I don't think the general public realizes the backside of everything, the storage, the IT. How do I get all that data from Coopersville to our Fillmore complex, or from Hudsonville to our Fillmore complex? You know, do we shoot it through our dispatch system? Do we go into a cloud system? So when we look at our it's very complex. You know, we'd be at almost probably just under 200 body cameras. You know, probably almost 90 or so for patrol cars. So it's putting this whole puzzle together so we have a perfect system in place for both our staff. I am a firm believer in the body cameras, and so they will be here as we move forward with this project. I do have to follow county policies and guidelines as far as, you know, putting it out for bid, getting all those proposals in place, but that team is coming together. Matter of fact, I was almost late sitting down here because I was on a body camera discussion on the phone before I came into here with you. So we are moving forward. I would expect that hopefully by the end of this year that project would be in place.
There are surveillance cameras right now at the jail, right?
Yes, there are.
Yep. Okay, I just want, you know, because we were talking about the prowl cars. I just like the term prowl cars,
right.
and the body cams for the deputies and the sheriffs and the lieutenants and sometimes the captains that are out on duty. And we're talking about not just uniform, but also
detectives
who are not in uniform too.
Yep. They will all be issued a body camera. I will be issued one. So if I'm in uniform, which I occasionally am, I will be wearing a body camera myself.
Okay, but when you're not in uniform, you don't need to. Well, you might not need to, but the
not
detectives.
Not myself, but detectives, you know, and there's some different styles of body cameras for, you know, somebody that does wear, you know, our detectives are mostly in suits. So, again, it's for their, you know, protection. But, again, it's part of that transparency. Like I said, it's a long time coming. But, again, it's the backside that has kind of slowed things down, but we will get through those hurdles. We have the right people in place, and we have the support.
Steve, the agony and the ecstasy is an old line, but it certainly can pertain to the ups and downs that happen as part of being in law enforcement. The ecstasy occurred Tuesday evening when you presented a life-saving award to one of your deputies over what happened during Christmas the Christmas weekend. Yeah, it was pretty emotional. And everybody put aside their venting at the county board meeting for that particular story.
It was, Gary. And if you watch that video, you even hear my voice crack during that because standing there, realizing what our deputy did that night during the blizzard when that garage small workshop exploded with the gentleman inside, severe injuries to his lower part of his body. Sadly, he did end up losing one of his legs, hoping that the second heals up good. But intense fire, our deputy was close and kind of broke his way, bound determined to get to that house through the blizzard. The wife had already pulled her husband out of that building, and there were still small explosions occurring in the building. I didn't mention it the other night, but we had some ammunition that was going off in that building. And our deputy, who is a veteran, he grabbed one of the kids' sleds, got the gentleman onto that sled, pulled him further away from that building. But as I mentioned the other night, we carry another thing in our toolbox, Gary. I mean, our toolbox is getting huge, a tourniquet. And years ago, we were always taught you'd never apply tourniquets, unless there was a doctor or somebody there. And that whole philosophy has changed. We originally got our tourniquets several years ago. First part was for the safety and benefit of our officers in case they were injured or shot. That tourniquet's on their belt, they could immediately get it on. We find now we use them more on our citizens that are injured at bad accidents or something like this. So he applied the first tourniquet, and the trauma surgeons over at Corwell Spectrum basically said that first tourniquet onto that severely damaged leg was his lifesaver. He would have never made it to the hospital, especially with the weather conditions that night, waiting for the ambulance to get there. He realized he had a second tourniquet. Again, being a veteran, he realized that sometimes you need two. He had a second one in his car. He ran and got that, put that on the other leg. Again, the trauma surgeon said that stopped that blood flowing out of those injuries, maintained that blood in the upper part of his body where he needed it, and actually a third tourniquet was applied to an arm. To hear the wife say that, he's here today because of our deputy, because of that little piece of equipment we carry that runs about $30-$35. It was just a real heartwarming story.
That's the good part of it. Let's get to a call. Good morning. You're on the line with the Sheriff, Steve Kempker.
Good morning, Sheriff Kempker. Going along with the story that you just gave, you have, and what you said earlier about transparency and the citizens not knowing, what goes on behind the scenes. Could you explain a couple of programs that you're involved with to help citizens understand what go on, like your a police academy and things like that?
You bet. Especially after COVID, now we are kind of back into full swing with our programming at the sheriff's office. And I think you'll find too, talking to the chief at Holland City, they're kind of back at it. One of the best things that we have, it's one of the highest rated programs by our citizens that do attend here from our community, is our Citizens Police Academy. And what that does is, we select, I think the last class was almost 40 people that we ran through. We walk them over a series of several weeks, kind of walk them through the Ottawa County Sheriff's Office. We walk them through Central Dispatch. They get walked through the court process. And everybody that I talk to that goes through that is just amazed as to what really occurs in the background. Like you say, you see the prowl car out riding around, driving around. You see the news stories where there's a crime. We go in and work on it. But to see all the background stuff, and we also even take them into kind of the administrative end, what it takes to run a department of our size. We're about the sixth or seventh largest sheriff's office now in the state. And I talked to other chiefs, especially with Chief Messer from Holland, and he has the same success stories of people that go to the Citizens Academy and go, wow, that's what it really takes to run this department. They get a look at why do we have a budget the size that we do. A lot of people in our community go, yeah, the sheriff's office, they're out there on the road patrol, but they forget the fact that the sheriff has a large facility called the jail. and what's all tied in with the jail. You know, we tell them about the community programs we're involved in. And, you know, I just did a talk here this week out at Parkside Church on the north side of Holland, and we introduced a new program we're doing to help educate people about scams. You know, our detective that handles all of our frauds and scams put together an excellent presentation, and we're willing to bring that out to other community groups too, but to really help educate them not only about the sheriff's office, the courts, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff, but also to help with all the other programming to educate people on, you know, like scams. We've talked about it here many times, and they just keep coming in and coming in. So there are numerous programs. Our Citizens Response to Active Shooter, after the past week, the events in California, we're gearing up that program again to help our citizens that if by chance they are involved in a situation like that, of what to do to help your, you know, survivability of an incident like that. So, you know, look at our website. But again, the Citizens Police Academy really gives the people of our community a really good overview and understanding of what we do every day out there, both on in front of the scenes and behind the scenes.
Thank you very much for the call. I don't want to make this imposing, Steve. Can you hold on through the break? Because there's a couple more things I'd want to touch base with you on after the break.
Yeah, be more than happy to.
We'll have more with Sheriff Steve Kempker following the break on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC. We do have CBS News with Deborah Rodriguez, followed by WHTC News. We'll finish up our conversation with Sheriff Steve Kempker. We'll have a chance to maybe take a call or so. And then Patty Vandenberg will be in with What's New Around Holland. Following that, it'll be Barb Visser with the look ahead to the month of February at Evergreen Commons. All on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.
They got your name, your address?
No, they don't got my address. I falsified my renewal. Put down 1060 West Addison.
1060 West Addison? Wrigley Field.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town on 99.7, 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com.
And sure enough, in the Blues Brothers movie, some of Chicago's finest, trying to track down Elwood Blues, drove up to Wrigley Field. Welcome back to Talk of the Town for this Friday, January 27th. I'm Gary Stevens. Played that cut with Sheriff Steve Kempker of Ottawa County on the other side of the table. Well, sometimes even the best of law enforcement can get caught like that.
You know, Gary, we talk about the behind-the-scene things, and it's always great to sit with you here on break and talk about everything from old TV shows to the little clips that you play. So it's always fun part of coming here.
Well, the thing is, I brought that up because sometimes, you know, even in this day and age of computers and everything, you know, we do get scamsters, and you touched upon the scamsters before the break.
Exactly, and it is daily, Gary, that these scams are occurring. We are seeing people, we've seen everywhere from just a few dollars taken to over $100,000 taken from people. Sometimes we are successful in stopping the movement of the money, and other times by the time people realize what has happened, that money's long gone. We have a detective that handles just fraud cases here in Ottawa County who is extremely busy, and he's also on the federal task force out of Grand Rapids with the IRS and that. And, you know, we've been very successful in some, but some, I hate to say it, once they either hit the button or give that information out, it is gone. So we've developed a program, and as I mentioned earlier, we just presented it at a church on the north side of Holland. To a large group there, and a lot of them were like, it was amazing while we were sitting there. Several of them held their phone up and go, look at the text message I just got. And it was a scam, trying to get information or glean information from people. So when in doubt, you know, always never give your information out unless you are very, very confident you know that person or recognize the voice or, you know, I always encourage do things in person if you can. But again, it's all over this nation, and I would not even dare guess the amount of money people are scammed out of every year across the United States.
616-395-1450. We have a question for Ottawa County Sheriff Steve Kempker. There are a couple of other things I wanted to touch base with Steve, and we certainly appreciate him staying through the break on this. First of all, before we hit the call at the top of the hour, we were talking about the highs and lows of this business. And one of the highs was honoring one of your own for a rescue effort during Christmas weekend up in Allendale. One of the lows, unfortunately, happened over the weekend. Lake Makatawa.
Yes.
Vehicle in the water. The two girls involved, it looks like they're going to be okay. The driver, unfortunately, did lose his life. We haven't heard too much since that time. What can you explain without compromising the investigation into the matter?
Yes, Gary, that's first a very tragic situation. You know, part of that situation did have a good outcome, that the two girls were able to get themselves out of that vehicle and get themselves up to shore. And, you know, they did knock on some doors, but some of the residents in that area are gone for the winter. They knew that they had to stay warm because they were fully saturated from being in the water. Those two girls probably saved each other's lives. You know, they huddled in a corner on somebody's porch for warmth. And then later, once daylight hit and they saw somebody come out of their house, you know, they were able to alert that person. So this is still an ongoing investigation. There's a lot of questions, you know, and information that we're tracking down. Obviously, part of the investigation is we wait back for toxicology reports on the driver. So we're waiting for that information to come back. But again, you know, there's, again, this is that backside that a lot of people say, well, how come you can't have all the answers, you know, within a few hours? You know, the traffic unit has been working up the scene. They're back out doing interviews and following up, kind of building things of what took place before the crash. You know, where were people at? So, again, with my background working with the fatal accidents over the years, there's a lot of time that goes into the follow-up of these cases. You know, even though there probably never be charges that come out of this against anybody, we still have to have a complete and full investigation done.
It leads me to another topic I was not going to bring up, but now comes to mind. We're involving the situation at the University of Idaho with the loss of life there of those University of Idaho students, and a judge has issued a gag order on both sides to not say anything till after the judicial proceedings are complete.
Right.
And I think I mentioned the time, and you can amplify or agree or disagree, whatever. I says, that's a two-edged sword. We want to know what happened, but yet we want to be able to give the accused their day in court.
Exactly. And, you know, I think I've maybe seen one gag order here in Ottawa County over the many years I've been here. There is certain information in investigations, whether it's local, state, or federal investigations, that there are times that law enforcement kind of has to put it this way, hold the cards close to your chest, because there's information that we don't want to get out that may jeopardize the investigation. And, you know, we always look at, you know, for us here in Ottawa County, the victims are our number one priority and focus. And we don't want to jeopardize, you know, that incident neither, or any judicial proceedings. But, you know, the prosecutors have to build their case. You know, law enforcement goes out and does their thing. You know, I followed the Idaho situation kind of on and off throughout. And my read, of course, with the law enforcement background was they had more information, but they just could not release it, so they didn't jeopardize anything. Obviously, you always worry, too, and I do, too, is, you know, is there a public safety threat yet out there? So sometimes we do have to release information to help find people or track people down. So, again, yeah, like you said, it could easily be a two-edged sword there.
Good morning. You're on the line with Ottawa County Sheriff Steve Kempker.
Yeah, I wanted to put a kind of a talk out there about gift cards. I work in retail, and the amount of people that a person calls them and tells them to go buy these gift cards to buy a dog or whatever, or they're in trouble with the law. We tried to explain to them that there's scams going on this. They don't seem to believe it, and they send their money, and their money is gone. Exactly. So it's just kind of a warning, people. Yeah. If you get a call, don't go out and buy these gift cards, because they're most of the time they say, well, just tell them it's a gift for your grandkids and stuff like that. We had a lady come in the other day. She got $400 each on a Target gift card and said they were a gift for her kids, grandkids. They were not. And she came back and said, hey, can I? My money's gone, you know? And I said, well, we tried to explain it. So please tell people to be aware of stuff like that. Thank you.
I appreciate the call.
Yeah, as the caller said here, and I applaud the caller for doing what she's doing, because we have received calls from some of the local businesses here that have said, hey, we've got somebody here that's just, you know, it two and two doesn't add up to four. They're just buying an elderly person, especially buying a large quantity of gift cards. And sometimes they'll say, well, you know, somebody called me and they want the numbers off from these cards. So I do applaud the caller working in retail that, you know, the retailers are kind of informing their staff to watch for this. Don't be afraid to call us to have a deputy respond and you know, maybe ask a couple questions because, again, you know, for some people, losing $500 or losing, you know, thousands of dollars, it puts an impact in their life. And, again, I applaud the caller, the businesses in our community that are aware of this. And we try to constantly send this message out, too, as we work with retailers throughout Ottawa County, you know, to watch for this.
One final thing, Ottawa County Sheriff Steve Kempker, and I want to bring this up because part of the Sheriff's Department's duties is also to be able to provide protection during Ottawa County Board meetings. And this month we have seen passions and emotions and feelings heightened over the actions by the Ottawa County Board. So far, so good. Yes. It's been pretty much in the sense where people have been venting and expressing their opinions and keeping it such. They're not doing any actions, as we had seen a couple of years ago, where some people were a little disorderly and had to be taken away from the board room itself. Talk about the concerns, and maybe I'm not certain if you need to put extra people over the next few weeks for board meetings or not, but we got people that are, you know, pretty unhappy with what's going on with the Board of Commissioners in Ottawa County.
Right. Well, Gary, it is the duty of the Sheriff's Office to make sure that we have safe and secure meetings, just as we do out in our community, safe and secure environments in our community. I will say that, you know, the people that have been coming to speak, you know, they are exercising their right, and I recognize that, and our deputies do. They've been, yes, I think, you know, some are kind of maybe heated words at times, but overall, I'll have to say this, I'm there, you know, I walk through the group and the crowd there and I talk to people. Overall, they've been very good, very respectful. They're not getting disorderly or yelling and screaming out in the lobby and that. And I think that shows, too, that from no matter what side they're on, you know, there's that respect there. But they're there to still rightfully voice their opinion during that public comment time. And so we do monitor, you know, those board meetings. And again, I thank the people that are coming and that are speaking and, you know, just really not, you know, to put, I guess, not tearing the place up. You know, they're there. It does lengthen the meeting. Some people do get impatient, and I understand that because when you get that many people to come for public comment, you know, it obviously is going to continue that meeting out. And again, you know, and I'll say this, I know people on both sides, you know, and again, they're there to express their feelings and have their voice heard, no matter what side they're on. And we respect that. And also, like I keep saying, thank you to those that are coming and they're respectful. And I think the meetings, you know, I think they'll continue on this path of being good.
Even with the overflow situation, because obviously when you have an overflow situation, yes, That could increase the tensions.
It does, and I know the county has experienced some technology issues, and I know that the IT department has been working very closely. And I've even noticed it and brought it up that sometimes you can't hear in that boardroom. You know, they've made adjustments to the microphones, the speakers, so you can hear better. But live streaming it into the lobby area. In the past, that lobby area was just packed that you could not move through. So we have to look at, the safety in the event if something does happen. So the main conference room has been the overflow room, and that seems to work out pretty well as long as we can. And I'm not a tech geek here, but as long as our IT can, maintain a couple screens and the visual and that, and the system they have, to sign up for public comment. Sign in, we bring a group in, and they go in, and then, they keep things. I thought it moved along very well.
We certainly appreciate having Ottawa County Sheriff Steve Kempker stay on for an extra segment to address some issues in our area and take some phone calls. And again, the word about scams, contact the Sheriff's Department. Don't use the 911. Yep. Call the Sheriff's Office directly.
They can, or there is a published 800 number also of the non-emergency line for Central Dispatch.
And that would be the one to report.
Probably be the best to go to first, yep, and then we'll get a car dispatched out.
Steve, thank you very much as always. We'll do this again next month.
Great. Take care.
Thank you very much, Ottawa County Sheriff Steve Kempker.